This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
And welcome to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski and Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star. Welcome. What a gorgeous day today was for running.
It certainly was. We've waited a long time for this.
Pent up demand.
But now is it here to stay? That's the big question.
Absolutely,
right?
It is. Absolutely, it is.
Oh, I want to believe you.
For sure it is. And really, one of the, and what a week this has been. I can't even start to even explain how weird this week has been because we're preparing for our first race of the race season, Le Chocolat, turning out to be one of our big races that we produce. It is officially now the largest race in Southern Ontario.
Impressive.
Mississauga is only larger than us, kind of going up towards Toronto. And so we're really, really excited. We still have a couple spots left for Le Chocolat in the 5K and the half. And I think there's a couple left in the 10K. And, you know, the secret is if you really want to do like a 5K walk, register for the 5K run and we'll switch you within your registration pickup to get you down to the walk. Because right now the walks are all sold out. But by all means, you know, it's this this Friday and this Saturday we're doing race kit pickup. And we're going to talk a little bit about how race kit pickup works. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about what is it like to line up and start and the bib goes in the front and all those wonderful things that new runners, need some extra tips on, and wear the port-a-johns and all that great stuff.
Well, and at the race kit pickup, also we're going to have the pacer table there. So anyone who's not really sure what a pacer does or how you use one or how you even sign up to run with one, the table is going to be there the whole time your race pickup is open. So anyone can kind of pop by and see us. I'll be there actually Friday night with you guys.
Okay. Maps will be there. Mm-hmm. We'll have everything there for them. So we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. Real special treat. We, in the running world, know what the news is about the bandit and the guy from Foursquare who forged the bib, paid the charity $5,000 thinking it's okay, and then walked away. I won't use language that I've been using because now I'm on air. But Dave McGillery is going to join us. I talked to Dave about this. We really need to kind of talk about bandits and kind of deep dive this whole issue because there's a history of bandit bibs and bandit runners at Boston. But mostly in the vein of, I'm going to run for a mile or two and then pop off and just say that I was a part of the experience. This is a whole new low.
Well, you see, it's being titled hashtag Bibgate right now. I don't know if you've noticed that on Twitter, which I love.
It's horrible. So,
and the comments from runners do not like bandits. It doesn't matter what the reason is or what their excuse is. They're frowned on.
Right, because we earned it.
We
paid, we registered early, we got in on time, or we qualified to be a part of that event. So yeah, absolutely. It's despicable.
If I'm paying $80 to come and run your race on the weekend, someone else shows up and says, well, you know what, I'm going to run it, but I don't feel like paying just because. Like, I don't understand that mentality. And those people still hit the water stops. Some of them even have the gall to come across the finish line and get a finisher's medal, which is just unbelievable. And in their minds, they think it's okay. I do not understand that.
Well, we're going to talk about it with Dave.
I can't wait.
We're going to go right to the top. We're going to talk to McGillery about it and find out what's really going on in Boston. And there's a whole bunch of stuff we want to talk about. We also really want to send out our best wishes to a guest we had on a couple weeks ago. Krista Duchesne. She's got a fractured femur, I believe, and she's recovering in the hospital, and we wish her all the best, speedy recovery.
Well, and you saw in her blog, she was saying she was winning the race, just running away with it. Then it seems like all of a sudden her leg just didn't move anymore, and she was down. That's pretty scary.
It really is, especially for a high-performance elite athlete. But you know what? She's going to bounce back because of her fitness, and she'll be back to Olympic qualifying times and standards no time at all. She'll be here. She'll be here again in the fall, I'm sure.
Runners are tough.
They are. And so is she, specifically. So, you know what? We wish her all the best. And all. Did you see the Running USA report on what's happening in running in last year regarding color run, Spartan?
Your foam runs, your mud runs, just about everything right now.
The beer runs. So what I find absolutely fascinating, and I went through some of these numbers when I was at the San Diego conference, for those who are kind of tuning in, Running USA is like our national trade organization in the United States for race directors and runners, and running organizations. And they do a very good job in representing us and also getting really empirical data of what's happening in the industry and really kind of boiling it all up into reports. So they did a report kind of talking about really the state of the sport of non-traditional running events, because it's no secret that the marathon has been flat, and it's been flat for 5, 6, 7 years, yep. Easy. There's 500,000 marathoners in the United States. There's always going to be 500,000 marathoners in the United States, and that's always a number. The growth in our industry over the last 10 years, especially in the last seven, has been the half marathon. The half marathon has exploded the sport, literally from you know, in the 2005, 2006, where it was non-existent, to really almost 4 million runners.
Well, and you realize why. You know, with the half marathon, takes nothing to train for it. You're not giving up your life. You're not giving up a Saturday to go out for a 20 miler, which is going to take you 3 to 4 hours. They're just a lot easier to train for. And I'm sure the stats probably show too that probably the biggest increase there again is in with women.
Right. So I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's 2 million is where the numbers are at for the half marathon. Add the other 500,000 for marathon. It's 2.5 million. Last year in non-traditional running events. So the color run. Mm-hmm. Spartan, you name them all.
Warrior Dash.
The zombie runs. Yeah. 4 million participants.
Yeah, because you know what? They're simple. You can come off the couch, train a little bit, and do them. And you know what? I think what people are enjoying the most about them is they're just different. They're fun. They're exciting. You know, you get a little bit more for your money, and I think that's what's really appealing to people. And they can also include their family, like the color run. That race is a huge family event. It's not just, you know, mom and dad doing it. The whole family's out there, which is kind of a cool aspect to it.
Absolutely. And talking about the color run, July 19th here in Windsor, registration is open for that. Color run nights will be opening up, I hope, this week for June. And in place of the electric run, color run nights, the names are kind of synonymous. And until we actually launch it, it'll probably be color run nights, is my understanding. So, but
this is the electric run will be color
is.
Run nights.
That's correct. Okay. And there's a long story behind that. We can probably get into that in a couple of weeks when we have we're going to have Travis Snyder on, who's the founder and owner of Color Run. Mm-hmm. We'll have Travis on. We'll talk about this specific issue that, you know, the popularity and the explosion of these events.
And you know what's cool with him is he's actually, unless I'm mistaken, he's a stellar athlete. Is he not like a top-notch triathlete?
He was a guy who did triathlons.
Yeah.
That's correct. He actually hosted triathlons. Most of these race directors in one form or another have always been able to race direct either triathlons, or they do some really weird trail runs out in Utah, which I don't really want to talk about. It involves shooting an arrow and running, and I'm not too sure exactly what they're doing out there. But
yeah, it's best if you don't know.
But yeah, we'll have Travis on in a couple of weeks. We're next week on the show, we're going to be talking hydration. We're trying to get a hold of the beer mile world record holder.
Very cool.
Very cool. I mean, under 5 minutes for the beer mile is unbelievable. I've watched that video, I think, like 4 times, going, wow, I can't believe he actually run after downing that beer.
At 4 beers, you know, yep. 4 laps, 4 beers. And I think the way it goes is if you throw up, you have to drink another beer.
So, you know, hats off to him. We want to get him on the air. But at the same time, we're also launching a new drink at Running Flat. And it's Running Flat Fuel. And Running Flat Repair. Fuel is actually on all of our courses, starting at Le Chocolat, and it's pink lemonade. It's an awesome flavor.
Very nice. Am I going to be able to get that from a store?
You will be able to get that on the store, and you'll also be able to sample it at the expo coming up at the Devonshire Mall this weekend. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. When we come back, Dave McGillivray is going to join us, and we're going to talk about Bib Bandits and some other stuff happening in Boston.
Excellent.
And you're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CALW.
Gardening. It can be a relaxing and rewarding pastime. But if you're not sure what you're doing, it can burst that bud of calm and bloom into full-blown frustration. Fact is, gardening has basic rules for success, and anyone can learn with a little help. So before you put in all that work, make sure you have all the good dirt on gardening from the ground up. Plant that dial on AM 800 and tune into a show that could be the most valuable gardening tool since the invention of the watering can. Fantastic gardening tips are yours to cultivate every Saturday morning at 8 with Live and Local's Get Gardening. From fussy foliage, baffling botanicals, to those persistent perennials, call in and remember, there are no silly questions in gardening. If your question is answered on air, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 gift certificate from Lil's Country Gardens. Get growing. Visit am800cklw.com to enter your question online. Live and Local's Get Gardening, Saturday mornings at 8. Sponsored by Lil's Country Gardens, Pat Danaher Topsoil, and AM 800.
What's even more super than savings of up to 60% off base airfares is that they're still available. That's because Porter's Super Spring Savings Sale goes until Friday, May 2nd. So hurry on to flyporter.com by Friday to book for travel by September 3rd. Super Spring Savings of up to 60% off base fares with some conditions. That's more super and even more savings. Porter, flying refined.
What if Wednesday, May 7th wasn't just another day? What if it was a day where you could help your community? And all you had to do was take some time to enjoy a Big Mac. May 7th is McHappy Day. Come into McDonald's and show your support. Because $1 from every Big Mac, Happy Meal, and any hot McCafe beverage sold will go to Ronald McDonald Houses and other neighborhood children's charities. So whether it's 2 minutes or 2 hours, on May 7th, take some time for McHappy Day.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight, rain beginning near midnight with a risk of a thunderstorm overnight. Gusty wind, a low of 10. Tomorrow, periods of rain ending in the afternoon. Then a mix of sun and cloud, a 40% chance of showers, a risk of a thunderstorm tomorrow afternoon. Gusty wind still in a high of 17. Tuesday night, a few showers with a risk of a thunderstorm into Wednesday morning. Gusty wind, a low of 12. Once again, rain beginning near midnight tonight with a risk of a thunderstorm overnight. Gusty wind and a low of 10.
Classy label on the wine.
Right. When I saw it at the LCBO, I knew the wine would be great.
You pick your wines by the label?
Yep, almost always works.
Okay, so if it's got a drawing of a vineyard?
Perfect for outside on the deck.
How about a picture of a chateau?
Really impresses on a first date.
Animals with sunglasses.
Lambergers.
There's a better way to shop for wine. With Wine Styles from LCBO, it's easy to find wines you'll enjoy every time. Look for your styles next time you're in store. And go beyond the label at the LCBO.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski and Kelly Steele. And on the live line is Dave McGillivray from the Boston Marathon. Dave, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Hey, how are you?
I'm awesome. You know what? First off, an amazing event from our perspective up here looking. I mean, you guys did a fantastic job. You're to be commended, your entire team and your entire city. I mean, you made all runners proud that day, man.
You know, it was interesting. I was driving into the office the week before, actually to a press conference, and I got a phone call from a fellow race director out in Denver, Colorado, and he asked me how I was doing. I said, I feel good, and he says, you think you got it? And I said, well, I hope so. And he says, well, good. He says, because we're all counting on you. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? You know, you're all counting on me. And, you know, I paused for a moment, and I recognized the importance of this, you know, that after what happened last year, it changed the sport somewhat. And, but, you know, in coming back, we can correct it again, you know, and we can get back to some level of normalcy here. And so it was important that it all go well. And thank goodness at the end of the day, I think it did. And it was a team effort all the way, not just the BAA, but just everyone from around the country, around the world, just collaborating and supporting and being resilient and persevering through all of this. And so we were obviously thrilled with the end result.
Sorry, go ahead, Gary.
You know, it was really nice to hear a lot of the runners that came back. You know, I just kind of chatted with them. My big question was, you know, how was security, you know, did it kind of take away from it? You know, that was the big question in everyone's minds. And every single runner said to me, as usual, everything at Boston ran smoothly. you know, sure, they noticed that there's security there, but it didn't change the mood. The celebratory mood was still there. It was a great race. Everyone's had nothing but truly positive stuff to say about it. So you guys did
awesome. I think going in, I mean, you know, these folks are, you know, they're intelligent. I mean, they understand what they were dealing with in terms of the competitive aspect of the event itself, too. And they didn't want to have to adjust that too much. You know, they wanted to build security around the event versus the event around security, mm-hmm. and say it was a balancing act. And that's really tough. I mean, to secure the Super Bowl, all you have to do is, you know, circle the wagons, build security around the stadium, and lock it down. You got it. You know, a 26.2-mile marathon, you know, at this level of enhanced security to try to do your job but don't impact the event itself and make it family fun, friendly, competitive event, that took a lot of work, a lot of doing, a lot of meetings, and kudos to our public safety officials for nailing it. They really nailed it good.
And I did love the photo of you getting frisked by the security guards before you could go into the main area.
Man, you can't do anything without, you know, getting caught, you know. Speaking of which, somebody showed me that picture. I said, well, how did there happen to be a camera right there at that time?
But it's media. We're everywhere. Yeah. You know that.
So, Dave, talking about being caught, let's talk about bent and counterfeit bibs. And look, Boston is not immune to bandits, right? I mean, you've had a long history of bandit runners in your race. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that, and then let's talk about this whole new low in that.
You know, again, everything's evolution, right? And, you know, tradition, evolution, all that kind of stuff. And we've been around for a long time. So years and years and years ago, when the qualifying standards were imposed, you know, there were people who felt they couldn't qualify or didn't and said, hey, I still have the right to run on public roadways and whatnot. And you know, generally speaking, they're cooperative souls. They just get in the back of the pack, and they don't take our amenities, and they don't really get in the way. And even though we never condoned their presence, we tolerated it, you know, to a point. And so this year, however, with increasing the field size by 9,000, with an enhanced level of security and everything else, I mean, everybody involved in the event, you know, was identified either by a credential or a bib number, or, you know, you knew who everyone was. If someone had to be identified, you knew who they were. Mm-hmm. But a bandit, you don't. And so we really had strong messaging this year saying, listen, this just isn't the year, folks. It's just not the year.
Right.
And, you know, law enforcement's going to be watching out. And we didn't say anyone would be pulled. They're all subject to, right? And what was fascinating is that for the first time ever, so I've been doing this for 27 years, there's usually either a couple of hundred or in years past, a couple of thousand, right? unregistered runners.
Did you not at one time have a shoot? Did you guys not at once actually have a shoot for the bandit runners to kind of finish in so that they didn't get the medals?
Well, not really, but, you know, we don't want to give them medals and give them the amenities that other people have earned the right to get, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But there was, you know, there's a lot of them. This year, my start coordinators, because I took off on the motorcycle with the lead pack, they counted 15 unregistered runners at the back of the pack.
That's
not
it.
50, not 500, not 5,000, 15. So my point being is that everybody, the world cooperated. Mm. They got the message loud and clear. They really, really did. I rode on a motorcycle down course. The crowds were as thick and deep as I've ever seen it in 27 years. There had to be well over a million plus spectators, 10 deep.
Wow.
And what was interesting is that not one of them was on the street, on the field of play. No one. I mean, we had a lot of equipment and a lot of personnel out there, sure. But everybody behaved, and they were all carrying signs, Boston Strong, and we won't be denied. And it was like a rally. It was
right.
It was so different than ever before, but in a good way, in a real good way.
But
brings us to the... Go ahead.
No, but now what surfaced over the last couple of days was one gentleman and his counterfeit bibbing.
Now, the only thing I can say to that is this. No, I don't advocate for that, right? I don't support it. But, you know, it's sad that something like that would dominate the news after what just happened. You know, a year ago, bombs went off. Mm. People died. People lost limbs. We worked really hard, and we pulled off the race of the century, the race of the century, right? And then less than a week later, people are talking about one guy who photocopied a bib or whatever the heck he did, you know? And it doesn't make it right, but I just, I'm kind of like, I'm almost upset with that. Why so much attention to that, right?
But do you think there's going to be more? Because I know there's also that
no,
other lady.
I don't.
Well, there's that other lady. I believe her name was, I forget what her last name was. She said when she went online to see her pictures, four other people came up with her same number.
Yeah.
So you've got the Crowleys and then you got her. Do you think that's kind of it? Or do you think this was the trend this year?
I do. I personally think it's very isolated. I think the fact that it's out there now, you know, we're obviously going to be watching out for it more. And I just like with the bandits.
That's a hard thing to catch, though, if they're wearing the bibs, you know.
We'll catch it. We'll catch it.
Well, you know,
we'll figure out ways. We'll figure out ways.
We
can with everything. But, you know, it just you don't catch it if you're not looking out for it. But now we'll figure out ways to look out for it. But, again, let your conscience be your guide. I talked to one of them, right, the gentleman you just mentioned. He literally is so distraught and so apologetic. I don't think he's thought of the ramifications and the implications of his actions. I think he just thought, well, I'm just going to photocopy a bib or whatever he did. And then, you know, it doesn't have a tag on it. So she's not going to be timed or scored. We're not going to take anything from anyone else. It's just that he could stop. What was it? She finished last year and he could stop and vice versa. I forget what it was. Anyways, they felt so wrapped up with the bombing and with coming back and not being denied. And she tried real hard to get a bib from a charity. She couldn't qualify or whatever the story is. And I think that she just felt like I needed to be there. Again, that doesn't justify it.
No,
and
it
I'm
doesn't.
Not advocating it. Me of all people, right?
Yep.
But this guy is really distraught, and he's really he wants to pay the fee. He wants to pay he says whatever. If like a charity demanded $4,000 or required $4,000, I'll pay it. I want to make restitution. I want people to know I apologize. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. I was wrong.
But I think maybe
I want to make good.
Huh? I think maybe in hindsight he might not have wanted to run with his Twitter handle on their bibs because they have gotten raked over the coals over that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy.
Dave, you guys.
No, maybe he's apologetic because he got caught, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah.
Dave, you know what? Thank you very much for joining us today. You guys did an amazing job, and always a great pleasure having you, my friend. And
same here.
And wishing you absolutely all the best. You guys did an amazing job. And
Dave?
Just one
last really quick question, because I know it's the question that's out there right now. So I know right now people are wondering, okay, you know this guy's name, you know his wife's name. People are wondering, are these guys going to be allowed back in Boston? Are they gone? Like, is there going to be any?
No, we have an adjudication committee, right? And so they're collecting, you know, whatever information they need to get in order to convene and make a decision. So it's up to that committee, as it is every year. Every year we have people who don't show up on chip mats and people who are, you know, peeing in lawns or whatever it might be. And they go through the whole list and they adjudicate and they decide what the end result is. And so that's in the process right now.
Great. And you guys will release that when that happens?
I'm sorry?
When that happens, when you guys get a response from those guys, how you're going to handle it, will you be telling people what's going to happen to the Crowleys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to get out there, of course, because it's all in the news. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, thank you very much. And we'll be right back after these messages.
How Bell makes watching TV better.
Brad from Red Deer asks,
I heard Bell has the best satellite TV service in Canada. Can you tell me more?
Sure, Brad. Every Bell satellite TV package includes major networks, specialty programming like TSN, and a ton of HD channels. And even better? Bell's HD picture quality is up to 1080p, the best available. Don't settle for less than the best.
Get the best satellite TV service in Canada. Visit a Bell store or the source for details. Bell, watching TV just got better.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
A Windsor man accused of posing as a doctor is facing six new charges on top of the 15 he already faces. 32-year-old Darko Jovanovic was arrested in February during a fraud investigation when officers learned he was allegedly portraying himself as a licensed medical doctor. An investigation's underway after break and enter at a home in Lakeshore early this morning. It happened at Manning Road and County Road 46 around 4 a.m. And a brief OPP chase has led to charges against the Windsor man. Officers were pursuing a stolen transport truck on Manning Road on Sunday when the driver turned onto North Rear Road in Lakeshore and was arrested. 20-year-old Larry Van Brackel is charged. AM 800 Sports. Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling has been banned from the NBA for life. The Tigers are in Chicago tonight to play the White Sox. The Jays are in Kansas City. Both those games are 8-10 starts. From the AM 800 Weather Center, we are still under a severe thunderstorm watch. Tonight, a few showers with the risk of a severe thunderstorm, a low of 11. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, a 60% chance of showers and a high of 19. Right now, in Windsor, Essex, 20 Celsius, that is 68 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons to the full 26.2 miles. We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski, Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star. You know, it's always great talking to Dave, and I'm glad that he set the record straight on that. And
I'm so wound up after that. I still want to go.
I know, but you can't. You can't. And we know it's all bad, and as a race director, abandoning is bad, people, bad. But it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. This too shall pass, and we will get through that. And Foursquare may not go into bankruptcy insolvency after all this, the way people are abandoning it. But hey, look at what he did was wrong, and now he's going to pay for it. That's just the way life is.
But it's the same old, you know, you're always sorry once you get caught.
Well, I guess, but, you know, it is what it is. So what I want to do now is, just before we start talking about race lines and finish lines and bibs and everything else, I want to get into the song of the week. And the song of the week this week is by Band of Skulls, and it's Asleep at the Wheel. Band of Skulls, Asleep at the Wheel. It will be on the new, obviously, a lot of our new rock mixes and our new mixes for our runs that are coming up. So let's talk a little bit about race kit pickup.
Absolutely.
And how that works and what you can expect as a new runner that, you know, you signed up for, let's say, Le Chocolat this weekend, which of course you have. And what you want to do is you want to go pick up your race kit at the Devonshire Mall between 3 and 8 on Friday and
10 and 5 on Saturday.
Thank you. Carla Lozon absent joins us on the air finally. And so you show up to the mall, the Devonshire Mall on Howard, and inside, just outside the Sears in the corridor, is where we're going to be set up.
So what do I need to bring when I show up at
what
the race?
What do you need to bring? Carla?
Well, we need to have your name, obviously, and the race that you're running. You need to show us your ID because there's wine involved. You must be 19 years of age or older to pick it up. And I know there's a lot of people that are coming in and picking up for other people. They have to show their ID in order to get that wine. Otherwise, we just can't give it out.
And to pick up someone else's race kit, you need to know their address as well.
Okay.
So other things that you're going to expect when you're down there is you're going to find a line that says 10K. You're going to walk up to the line. You're going to give them your name, your address. And then what we're going to do is we're going to kind of shuttle you over to the wine pickup area where you've made your choice of red or white because it's a 3-liter box bag of wine. No, it's a tough decision. And there is no rosé. You can't sit here and mix it midway.
Can I have one of each?
No. So, and then we're going to have a table with the Pacers, with MarathonPacing.com's folks there, because we are pacing the half marathon this weekend.
And what's interesting with Pacers, I don't know if people really know what our job is. This year, actually, I've been a little injured, so I'm going to be pacing the 220 group.
Okay.
So pretty much anyone who wants to run two hours and 20 minutes, they find me at the start line. I'm going to have a sign that says 220 on it. I have my little skirt on.
Nice.
And pretty much all they have to do is stay with me the whole race, because my job is just to keep a steady pace and get them across in 220. And I think they're going to have 140s, 145. It's going to be a whole different range of paces that anyone can run. So all you do is line up with those people, and we do carry the signs for the whole race.
Yeah, and I believe there's 9 pacers at this race, and most of them are from out of town. I think there's just 2 that are from in town.
Yep,
the rest are from all over the United States who are flying in, and they're going to pace us, and which is an awesome thing to have at a race, mm-hmm. because really what it's all about is just shutting your mind off, enjoying the race. Don't look at your watch. Just stay with your group, mm-hmm. and they'll get you in on time, and it's maximum enjoyment. So and that's why we do pacers for our halves. And the full, of course.
You know what I've realized, too, with talking to people? I don't think a lot of new runners in particular know what a timed race means or a chip. And I find it interesting because for our listeners who don't know what a chip is, it means that pretty much your race doesn't start until you cross the finish line. So if you're in the bathroom or if you're at the back of the thing, once you find the mat, when you run across the mat, which is what that big, is yours red?
No. Ours actually has running flat written on it,
okay.
and they're black.
When you run across that,
right.
Your race will start.
Correct. So, for the most part, every single one of our races are chip timed,
yep.
start and finish.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of races in this region are just finished chipped.
Yeah.
They're not started on a chip.
Which means wherever you are when the gun goes off, that's where your time starts. If you're at the back
Correct.
Of the walkers, that's... And I think a lot of people aren't aware of that.
So your clock time really becomes your chip time,
yep.
in that issue. We have a much larger race,
mm-hmm.
and we also have a staggered start. So 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
is the start for the half, 9:15 is the 10, 9:30 is the 5.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
So what's going to end up happening is as they're lining up for the different races, they're going to go across, and they are chipped timed
mm-hmm.
on the start going out.
Okay.
And of course, we also have... 3 other mats on the course as well for the half,
mm-hmm.
for various turns and split times.
Okay.
And for the most part, they're not mats. They're antennas and RF guns.
Yeah, usually
that we can shoot
or whatever when you're going across it.
Right, but what we actually have now is an improvement in technology where we actually use handheld
mm-hmm.
guns, and we just gun the bib.
Oh, really?
And pick up the RF chip on the bib and record it at that point in time.
And you talking about the bibs, another really important thing that I don't think people know. You have to have that bib
on the front
of you, and it must be visible. So, you know, people always say to me, well, you know, it's cold in the morning. I don't know what to do with my bib. I always put my bib on whatever I know I'm going to be wearing. So at the front, you know, you show
yeah.
it, and then
yeah.
you can't, because too many people in a race have that big sweatshirt on. They put their bib on the front, and then halfway through the race, they're hot. Well, their sweatshirt comes off, and all of a sudden you can't see their bib.
And here's the problem with that, fundamentally, is there's always turns in a course.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a pure event where it's a pure half, a pure 10, or a pure 5. It's a multi-course, multi-discipline
yeah.
type event. And in that, we need to see that bib to make sure that you made that right turn.
Well, exactly.
Or the wrong turn.
If a volunteer can't see your bib, and they've got to assume you're either doing the half or whatever, they've got to guess.
Right. And then what we've done is on your bib that you're wearing in the front are 2 chips that are embedded into
mm-hmm.
the actual bib itself. And they're super, super flat. There's no foam on these. There's nothing
yep.
Large about them. So what ends up happening is that's what gets picked up by the mats and by the guns on the course to make sure you're doing your time.
And when I'm all done the race, I can usually go online somewhere to find my official time, right?
You can. And as a matter of fact, that link is actually posted right now on the registration page.
Okay.
And something else that people don't know is that we buy your photographs. So when you come to this event... And we have 3 photographers on the course. We've already paid for all your pictures. And then in about 2 days after the race, you will get an email. Plus, there will be a link on the registration page by tomorrow, I believe, that'll take you to the site where you can just put in your bib number and see all your pictures.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, a lot has changed. And I can do an entire show on where race photography has gone
mm-hmm.
from, where you'd end up paying $35 for a
yep.
picture that you don't even like. You know, from a number of years ago to within the last 3 months, 2 of the largest companies in that venue have completely gone into bankruptcy and insolvency.
Really? Eh?
Right. So there's been a huge paradigm shift in the way we actually do marathon photos or race photos, as they would be. And literally, we can do an entire show talking about how that's changed.
But has it gotten to the point yet that when I come across the finish line, I'm actually going to look good? My hair is going to be all tidy.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to have makeup.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
My finish line photos have been brutal.
They're going to be perfect now.
I'm buying one then.
That's right. Well, you don't have to. We've already bought them for you.
I always buy mid-course because mid-course, I'm still somewhat looking okay.
So expect that. So when you show up, so if you have a 9 o'clock race, typically, you know, if you're there by 8 is great.
Yep. Now, parking, a lot of people ask me about parking for the race. Where's the best place to park for this race?
It's Walkerville on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. You can park in the parking lots. You can park on the streets. I mean, there's plenty of parking in the region.
Okay.
Not to worry.
Okay.
And if you have to walk a kilometer, it's okay.
It's a good warm up.
It's okay. So, you know, a lot of people show up between 7 and 8 o'clock for a 9 o'clock race. We have porta-johns. I believe we have, I don't know, 20 on site.
Yes.
And then we have three water stations that you repeat through on the course itself. And each one of those actually has porta-johns as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right there. And then we also have brand new fire trucks next to the water stations as well with firemen, believe it or not, Kelly.
Shirtless?
It's hard. Maybe it'll be a warm morning. I don't know. So also expect that. We also have a baggage claim area as well.
Now, what is a baggage claim area?
Well, you know, let's say you are wearing your parka that morning and you don't want to take it with you on a little jaunt around downtown Windsor and you want to check it. You will be able to do that. And simply, it's just a matter of it goes into a white bag. We put your bib number on it. It goes into a pile. And then you can reclaim that at the end of your race.
Okay. Excellent.
So you're coming across the finish line. You get a medal for completing your race. And our medals are very specific. And if you haven't seen them, go on to Le Chocolat, the Facebook page. You'll see a whole array of the 21, the 10, and the 5K. There's a number of pictures on there. Everyone gets a medal who finishes a race. At Running Flat, our medals are finishers' medals. We don't sell them. We don't give them away. We don't, you know. They're done. When they're gone, they're gone, and they're done. They don't come back. And so you'll be given a medal by a fireman or a fire chief, I believe. And then you'll be ushered straight into the chocolate area.
Nice.
where you will get your water, your chocolate milk, your bag o' chocolate, and then your hot melted chocolate, a banana, and a pretzel for dipping as well. And it's going to be a great event. It really is. We have some vendors as well for the people who are spectators. So they have chocolate and they also have coffees to buy while they're waiting for you. You know, we have lots of entertainment. We have buskers on the course and a couple musical acts. And there's even a busker at the finish line. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on, right? You know, for us, you know, a run is it's an alchemy, right? It's an alchemy of a great course and just a great mood and a great feel, a lot of entertainment, a lot of music.
I love entertainment on a course. That just makes the course so much better.
Well, the course itself will be entertaining. Trust me. You know, being that it's you know, Windsor, it's Riverside Drive, it's four lanes shut down for your enjoyment.
So the whole area is shut down.
It's shut down. It's shut down from McEwen all the way to Walker Road.
Okay.
And that in itself is a feat.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't happen in the city of Windsor. So we're lucky enough to have the course the way it is.
Now, do you still need volunteers at all for this
race?
We
still need volunteers.
Like, what would a volunteer be needed? What, water stops or?
Well, we have, there's some road closure volunteers that we require. We need some folks at some water stations. There's some course officiating, you know, making sure that turns are being done and that bibs are being checked. And there's still some course setup and some course teardown folks as well.
Yeah, and the finish line food area, we could use some help there as well.
Absolutely.
And if anybody's available Friday evening at Devonshire Mall, we could use some help with registration.
Okay. Yep.
Do they just show up or how's the best way to handle
that? Actually, I'd prefer if they actually tried to get in touch with me first of all so I know when they're coming. And that's carla@runningflat.com.
And on that note, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Michael Doyle from Canadian Running Magazine. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Did you know that 80% of the health challenges we face today are diet and lifestyle related? If you can lifestyle your way into getting sick, then you can lifestyle your way out and get well. Your body is very complex, but health is nothing more than common sense. Dr. Andrew will help you take responsibility for your health by making the best lifestyle choices every single day. The choices you make today will determine the health you will have tomorrow. Join us weeknights from 11 until 1 for On Call Radio with Dr. Andrew on AM 800.
Some heroes wear capes and tights. They have secret identities and superpowers. Some can fly or walk through walls, but some heroes just walk. On Sunday, May 4th, join others across Canada walking together for Kids Help Phone, the only national professional kids counseling service. 100% of the proceeds go directly to ensuring Kids Help Phone is always there. So on May 4th, be a hero. Visit walksokidscantalk.ca for more info.
I'd like to test drive the 2014 Mustang.
No.
Come on, man. Just once more.
Enough test drives, Gary.
Let me sit in it.
No.
Let me touch one.
I'll ask my manager.
Steve!
Is it Gary?
Yes.
No!
Now you can stop wishing and finally drive a Mustang. Because to celebrate its 50th anniversary, we're offering the 2014 Mustang Premium Coupe starting at an incredible $23,999. Visit your local Ford store to drive one today. Ford. Go further. Visit OntarioFord.ca for more details.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. We are still under a severe thunderstorm watch. A few showers tonight with a risk of a severe thunderstorm and a low of 11. Mainly cloudy tomorrow, a 60% chance of showers, a high of 19. Another 60% chance of showers Wednesday night, a low of 10. Cloudy Thursday and Friday with a 40% chance of showers both days, a high of 13 on Thursday, 14 on Friday. Once again, we are still under a severe thunderstorm watch. Tonight, a few showers with the risk of a severe thunderstorm and a low of 11.
It was a spring day like any other. All was quiet until something arrived. Something epic. Something totally sweet. Introducing Monster Deals from Cogeco, starring a $0 HD recorder for 24 months and internet speeds of up to 10 megabits per second starting at $29.95 a month for 6 months. And you has... you. All the deals are out now at Cogeco.ca/monsterdeals. Conditions apply. Cogeco, how can we help you?
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. You know, no Running Flat edition is complete without our friends from Canadian Running Magazine. And here's your new theme, Michael.
Running Flat Radio presents the Canadian Running Magazine Report on AM 800.
That kind of makes it official, doesn't it?
Yeah. I like it.
You'll ticker tape in the background. And talking about news, I mean, we talked earlier about Krista. What's the latest on how she's doing?
We spoke to her. Actually, I had a little email exchange with her last night, and she's in good spirits. I mean, she's such a tough competitor, and she talked really positively, and she's just saying that she's going to be back. And she said, you know, initially that she was thinking about trying to take a crack at the Olympic standard for Rio when the window opens up next year. And now she's thinking she's going to have to push for the end of when the window is open at the end of next year. But I mean, all she talked about is how she's going to be back and how that this strengthens her resolve and that she's not through. So pretty amazing story. I mean, she's such a tough competitor.
Well, you know, she's going to be back.
For sure.
no matter what's going to
sure.
happen.
Yeah.
It was so nice. Earlier in the show, we had Dave McGillivray on, where we talked a little bit about, you know, the amazing work they did at Boston. And of course, this whole, you know, Bibgate or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. What are you guys calling it?
Yeah, we dubbed it Bibgate. We gave it that hashtag on Twitter pretty quickly. We thought that was sort of funny, even though it's a pretty ridiculous story. I mean, it's crazy that multiple people had the same idea and copied these bibs. And I'm not sure what Mr. McGillivray said, but I'm assuming they've seen this sort of thing in the past. And just with the access that everyone has to, you know, I mean, I know personally dozens of people who have photographed their bib and put it on Twitter or Instagram over the last couple of years. So I just never dawned on me that somebody would actually print it out and counterfeit it, essentially. So it's pretty crazy that people did that. My brain just never went there. So
you guys talked to the woman who the four people stole her bib. Did you guys not?
Yeah, we did. We talked to Cara. Her name's Cara Bonneau. She was, she's from the Durham, North Carolina area. And yeah, she just said that she was, you guys were talking earlier on the show about race photos, and she was doing like everybody else does a couple of days after the race, kind of reliving her experience, goes online, checks that the photos are available online, types in her number, and like, okay, wait a minute, there's somebody else with my number, and then, you know, another person, and then somebody else, and then it ended up being four people that stole her bib. So yeah, and last I checked, they don't exactly know who the people are yet, but I read on Deadspin that a Boston College coach did say that he does know the two guys of the four people, that they're former Boston College runners, and he didn't want to give out their names. So.
Well, and isn't one of them coming under heat for the singlet she had on, supposedly part of a group? And I guess the group's now saying, or the store saying, no, we don't know her. She doesn't run with us.
Yeah, there's a couple of different, two of the two different girls that ran with the fake bib number, both had on running club singlets from, one was from St. Louis and another was from the Massachusetts, the Boston area, and both groups said, you know, they had no idea who this person was. We actually reached out to the group in St. Louis, and they very quickly sent back a response to us saying, we have no idea who this person is. Obviously, they're getting inundated with emails, right? Like, who is this person? And they claim they had no idea who the person was, and that their merchandise is available online and stuff. So, really strange scenario.
It's been a really weird couple of days, actually, for running news. And probably the most strangest is the breaking of the Holy Grail, the 5-minute beer mile. You know, I've reached out to James to see if we can maybe get him on next week, because next week we're going to focus the show just on hydration. And what screams hydration than the beer mile? So
I'm trying to get a guy at work to do it right now.
the beer mile's tough.
Have you done it?
I've done three beer miles, and I think the second beer mile I ever did was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, because I knew what was coming. The first one, it's kind of like your first marathon. You have no idea what you're getting yourself into. And then when you're done that, you're wondering, you know, when you're done the first time, you're like, what did I just do? This was awful. So the second time I did a beer mile was probably one of the toughest runs I've ever done. It's just really hard to keep 1.4 liters of fluid in your guts.
But that's the
and
thing.
Run as hard as you can, right?
Everyone thinks, I can drink four beers. What's the big deal? And I, you know, run a little bit. I haven't done it, but I can't even imagine what that would feel like
it's in your stomach.
Yeah.
It's the pressure that'll just kill you. Just kill you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to burp a lot. I think that's one of the secrets. I mean, you didn't see that in the video of James running the laps, but I'm sure he was belching quite a bit as he was going around the laps.
Or screaming in pain, either one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else going on that's positive in running?
Those are positive things.
Oh, yeah,
Zero Mile's positive.
I don't think he's Canadian. Is he? Is he really Canadian?
I don't think he's...
He is really Canadian. We spoke to him briefly, and we're going to do an interview with him either today or tomorrow, this evening or tomorrow. He's out in California, so he's a little behind us in terms of the hours. But he said he's going to do an interview with us, so stay tuned for that on our website.
Yeah.
And apparently, he's from the Toronto area. He went away to school in the States. You know, probably 10 or 12 years ago, and did an NCAA scholarship. And then he's a smart guy, went to Stanford, has a PhD from Stanford in electrical engineering. So he's a really interesting fellow. Apparently, Reed Coolsett, Rob Watson, those guys, they remember him from, you know, back in the day, back in high school and whatnot. And they say that he was a real unusual guy. So... And needless, I mean, his video was really entertaining. I thought it was the best thing we've seen all week, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And so what happened in Vancouver this week?
The Vancouver Marathon's coming up this weekend, and I'll be going out there. It's my second year going to the event. I'm really excited about it. It's just one of the nicest running weekends. Running in Vancouver is a new experience, and apparently the weather's going to be good. So, because the weather can be kind of up and down in Vancouver.
It's a very, yeah. very, very, very busy weekend. I mean, we have Le Chocolat down here, which is almost sold out. We have Mississauga this weekend, Vancouver. I mean, this is
Flying
really
Pig.
Good Life Toronto Marathon. Yeah, absolutely.
Flying Pig.
Everything's heating up right now. I'm really looking forward to your event. I'm going to have to make it out there next year. I think that's a really exciting event. You guys have really grown that quite a bit in the last couple of years. And
we would love to have you guys down.
Yeah, Windsor is one of my favorite places. I think it's a really kind of under special running area. I mean, running along the water there is really nice, and the community that you're hosting the event in is fantastic. It's one of the secret, one of the real gems of Canada, I think. I actually won't get into it, but I almost moved there a couple of years ago. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, good luck in Vancouver this weekend, and we'll definitely talk to you next week and find out what happened running around Canada this last week. Thanks, Michael.
Great.
Bye.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
And on that note, thank you very much for joining us, Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star. And you know, it's just we're just so pumped about this weekend and Le Chocolat, and it's gonna be an amazing event. And looking forward to the 2,400 participants that are gonna join us in the city of Windsor and really show off the city to them.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for that. So on that note,
well, we'll see you on Sunday.
Absolutely, and keep running.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode.